بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والشمس وضحاها. الله تعالى takes 10 oaths. الشمس وضحاها. By the sun and the morning light. وضحاها. والقمر إذا تلاها. And so forth and so on. It's about 10 oaths. And it culminates in وَنَفْسِي وَمَا صَلَّهُ. The soul and the one who has proportioned the soul. So this nafs sometimes, this nafs is called the ruh, sometimes it's called the qalb, and sometimes it's called the nafs. Nafs, qalb, and ruh. Generally in the Quran say, this is what is meant. It's meant the qalb is referred to. Although in the Naqshbandiya, they have made about 7 levels. They talk about the nafs, then they talk about the ruh, the qalb, then the sir, then the khafi, and the akhfa. So, in the training of the Naqshbandiya, they target all these points. Nowadays they call them power points. In the Naqshbandiya they call it Lataifa Sitta. So the one Latifa is somewhere by the navel. Then the next one is somewhere at the right nipple. Third one is somewhere in the center. And the fourth one is somewhere on the left side. Then you get foyer. Then you get sir. Sir is somewhere here. I think somewhere here. And then you get khafi, somewhere in the forehead. And then it culminates with akhfa, at the center of the head. The nafs and its property, we all know. The property of the nafs is to be attracted. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ. So these attractions, who's the victim of these attractions? It's the nafs. So the nafs has got the property, the ability to be attracted. You see something exciting, get attracted. So the attraction is generally surrounded by two things. In the summary of the Sufiya Kiram, it's just two things. One is shahwat, temptations. The temptation of all things coming. Woman can come in, wealth can come in, food can come in. So a lot of things can come in, temptation. You get tempted. So this is the one thing that the nafs relents, gets attracted, and then it will push you towards temptation. So whole variety is tempted to say something or to do something. Tempted to say something or do something, enjoy something. And the second problem in the nafs, one is temptation, the other is anger. So quwwat-e shahwaniya, quwwat-e ghadbaniya. So they said, one is the shahwat, temptation, and one is ghadab. Ghadab will translate as anger, or call it emotional, so it became emotional. So the nafs and shahwat, So anything that is tempting, it gets attracted. Then the second thing that the nafs has got is ghadab. So ghadab, how it works, if anything works against your, what you would like, against your temperament, something that works against you, is not like what you would like it to be. So it can be against you, your temptations, your likes, your desire, then the anger kicks in. See? So first, temptation, and if there's something that's blocking your temptation, then you become annoyed. What you would like, what you would desire, what you would wish for, if there's anything that's working against it, then the anger comes in. It's how you react after that. Either you control that anger, or either you exhibit that anger. You can control it also, resist, but you can express it as well. So in that, the whole variety of problems thereafter. So now, say for example, you're holding it, right? If you're holding it, and you don't have a dini mind, then your heart will be full with malice. Because I'm seeing the wrong, I'm seeing something that I don't like, and I'm holding it, I'm not expressing it. So, not expressing because sometimes I can't express it. He's too mighty and I'm not that strong. I don't have the cloth that he has. But I'm holding it. So I'm holding it, so I'm breeding malice in my heart. The anger. And how the thing will react. Anger and how it will react. Then it will be that I react to a situation, I react, say, more than what I'm supposed to be reacting. So, he swore me one word, right? He took the, say, swear word he used for the father or the mother he swore. Then, in response to that, I will swear his seven generations, father, mother, everybody. So, I'm not within the limit. Anger, so, this whether it's temptation, whether it's anger, both can be used correctly and can be used incorrectly. If it's used correctly, if shahwat is used correctly, then you call that iffat. You call that modesty, modest, purity. Right? So you've got shahwat, but you're using it in the correct way. You're using it in the correct way, so you call it is modest, is shameful, he is a chaste person. When he says a chaste person, the more accurate word would be chaste. So that is, if you are reacting to the shahwat correctly, then you say the chaste person. So you say the chaste person is a pure person, what you mean? That he will not do something that is shameful. Like you won't stare at a woman, will not flirt, will not fantasize, that you won't make approaches, so you won't do any such thing. And then you see that this person is chaste, is pure, is clean. Then that is for the person who acts correctly with regards to shahwat. So shahwat is not only expressed in your sexual temptations, but in other things as well. You see, he's a pure person, he's an innocent person. Means he doesn't steal, doesn't rob, he doesn't do these type of things. So the shahwat can be expressed in different ways. Sometimes it can be expressed through illicit behavior, and sometimes it can be expressed in different food, etc. Shahwat. So you can be stealing, robbing, interesting. Someone says, no, don't use the word interesting. Everybody knows now. They know what we're talking about, it's correct. They don't know what we're talking about, then it's different. English, you don't get guna if you don't use the tajweed. Quran says you must use the tajweed. Don't use the tajweed, you get guna for that. know, English also, right? Chalti ki naam jari. Can carry on. I tell my friends, where you can push Arabic into the our language, you must push it. Talk about the Islamic months. Talk about Salah, Zakah, Hajj. Use our words. Where you can put our words, put our words. Azan. He went into Ruku. He went to Sajda. Now he's in the Qoma position. Now he's in the Jalsa position. So wherever you can use our words, use our words. Give it an Islamic flavor. At least you can do something for Islam. Give it a flavor, Islamic flavor. The poet says, Astini khamran wa kulli annaha khamr. You pour in, tell me it is khamr. Isn't that an additional enjoyment? Alright, poet now they use different words. Some words may not be the right words, but it's poetic. So in poetry, some could shalta, other things also carry on. Like, I offer you a yogurt, you know. So this yogurt here, you know where it came from? This came from Makkah Mukarramah. You know what? This is the one that they serve iftar time in Medina Munawwara. So I can just offer you yogurt, but I can tell you the background of the yogurt. Now, doesn't make a difference. Hey, you know what? I got this cloth. This is the cloth, right? I just gave you. I said, oh, this is the cloth of the Kaaba Sharif. Doesn't make a difference. The cloth from the cloth of the Kaaba Sharif. Does it make a difference or not? It makes a difference. So the words that you use also makes a difference. It impresses the heart. It touches the mind. Because say the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why should say the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this? The Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this. You got the words there. And people know now. Now is not a time now that people are not aware of Islam. I was explaining some Jamaat brothers, they came here at the beginning of Ramadan from Mashallah, the top masjid. Right, where I see. I heard from Umar Pal and Kurisab that the Jamaat work has got three levels. The first level is Izhar al-Da'wat. So, the message of Deen becomes publicized. So by now, I'm sure the whole world knows about the Jamaat activity. This morning, Kyrgyzstan Jamaat came here. Kyrgyzstan, you heard of the name. Yeah, somewhere in Russia, it's independent. So I say that the word of Islam has reached everywhere. So this explaining that before the independence, there are just 17 masjids in the whole Kyrgyzstan. Right? Kyrgyzstan, it's all Tashkent, Bukhara, Samarkand. So, not very far, like I said, from here, Durban, Maritzburg, Ladysmith, so far, it's not too far. So now, it's opened out, Jamaat activity started off. Now there were 5,000 masjids. Just in about 12 years or something, right? That everything opened out. And now there were 5,000 masjids. So, what I'm saying, that the message of Deen has spread throughout the world. They know it, right? They know it. The New York Times, some 20 years ago, they took out an article of 3 pages in the newspaper. 3 full pages. Of the Jamaat world. So everybody, the East knows it, and the West knows it. And political people know it. Pakistan, they will give you a Tabligh Jamaat visa. So they're in politics, but they know the pressure of the work, and they give you a Tabligh Jamaat visa. They give you. So everybody knows about it. You can't say that anybody doesn't know about it. India, if you go in, They ask you, came from Tabligh. You can't give a visa. So they also know what is Tabligh. So the whole world by now, they know what is Tabligh. They know there's a thing like Deen, there's a thing like Islam. So Izhar al-Dawah, that's the first level. Now when this happens, so when the Dawah has started off, it creates a curiosity. Ek baat chalti hai, to phir kya hota hai? Logon ki aankhein uthti hai, creates curiosity. What is this? Tabligh and Islam and Deen and what? So when 9-11 took place, right? So they thought, with the 9-11, that will dampen the spirits of Muslims and those people that are interested in Islam, it will smash their emotions as well. But surprisingly, they all agree in agreement that with the 9-11, the bookshops, all the books were sold out. Create curiosity now, what is Islam all about? If Muslims did this, then what is Islam about? Creates all your curiosity. So when the enemy does something, right, to suppress, then it comes up again. So one corner of the world, you're pressing it, so next corner is picking up. If you're pressing it down, the Arab lands, see this Kyrgyzstan, what happened there. 5,000 masjids opened up. So this is like a balloon, see. You press it this side, it'll bubble up this side. Press it this side, it'll bubble up, it'll show something. You can't. You can't suppress it totally. لا يزال طائفة من أمتي قائمين. That is some of it. Will hold on. They'll hold on straight. It won't be like a sell-out thing like a Christianity. It was sold out to complete. So if one person is saying Son of God, the whole world is saying Son of God. So that's a sold-out, total sold-out. Yeah, if someone is saying something, then in the next week we'll get the majlis smashing him down. Someone or someone will make a noise. Won't they make a noise? And bring you back on course. So that's why I say count these people as a blessing. If someone is going a little bit off, straight away there's a block. Like when you're driving now, and you're driving at the edge of a cliff. So a police came and he took his bait and gave you a hard shot on the car. He left a dent. So you will be first, you'll be really, really angry about it. But now then you see, he saved me from falling down the cliff. And you know, the car was damaged a bit, right? 5,000 just to fix it up. But had he not smashed me down like that, I would have dropped completely off. So that's why I say, count these people as a blessing. So the intentions are to bring you back to cause. Right? Not to ridicule you, but to bring you back to cause. So someone needs a harder beating, someone needs a mild beating, so you're getting a beating, but the idea is to get you back. So now, once the Dawah is done now, so it creates a curiosity, what is Islam all about? So people are curious to know what is Islam. So that second phase is called Waqfa Tarbiyah. Right? So Waqfa Tarbiyah, what it means? Now, Waqfa Tarbiyat means, now once the Dawah is done and the curiosity has been created, so people want to see what is Islam. They want to see the behavior. Is it only for the books or is it the lifestyle? What is it? Two things now, it's just the books, right? And one is, it's a lifestyle. Man. This is the life. This is the answer to our solution, our problem. The question is, amen, you know, we call it depression problem. And we got all these different algae problems we got. But this is an ideal solution. If you just go towards it, so this is an ideal solution. So now, what has happened by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, that Islam is spreading so rapidly, is faster than the world birth rate. One is the birth rate, and one is Islam spreading. It's faster. The stats are showing that it's faster than the world birth rate. So now, that makes me feel afraid. Why? Because now the world wants to see Islam. we saw it in the book, you have to see it in life. So are we presenting the right picture of Islam in our small lives, small town, small village? But are we giving the right picture of Islam? So the Hindu wants to see, the Christian wants to see, the atheist wants to see, the gay wants to see, the LG wants to see, the Satanists want to see. What they want to see? They want to see the true picture of Islam. They read in the books, but now what they read in the books, that's a theory. They want to see, is this a life? Is life? Is it a solution? It's a lifestyle or not? Can it be a lifestyle? Well, now, if we are practicing the thing in every sphere of our life, this is the solution. Some of my friends, they're working in big companies, some in government departments, they're working, right? The big positions. So they come here, and they say that they have to be working in offices where there's women, right? But the woman would say, you know, people like you, we feel very safe to be working around people like you. Because you don't interfere, you don't look at us, you don't make advances, you don't touch us, you don't do anything. So we feel very safe working around people like you. For every Muslim, for this type of person. So your behavior is going to be the advertisement now. What's your behavior? Is it a lifestyle? Is it a solution? Is it the way to go? They want to see it properly. From every corner they want to see it. Right. We're talking about Islam. So is it a lifestyle? Is it the solution? Is it the way to go? Like now, we have the flooding and all that, right? And then there was a lockdown. And then the whole country had seen that the Islamic relief was next to none, right? Islamic relief was first. The whole country had seen the amount of relief work was done by Muslim brothers. Nobody could do it. So in one dimension, we have proven that this is a solution. Islam is a solution. Can you see now? Because now people needed essentials. And who was making the essentials available? The people saw, like the Muslims. Muslims are putting the heads to the wheel, and they are providing the essentials at the time of the crisis. Everybody's in a ghabrat state, right? They're running helter-skelter, and you're providing it. So in all things, we want to see, alright, is Islam, is it the solution or not? We're looking at it from different ways, different angles, in your dealings, in your behavior, in your cleanliness and purity, in your chastity and modesty. They want to see you in every way. So that's, Allah gives the second period. Waqfaya tarbiyat. In your speech and talk. So, Allah made such, they want to see it. That, you know, what you're talking about, is it a solution? Is it, can it be a lifestyle? Can it be a solution for all world international problems? Can it be? Political problems. Like in the bigger countries, England, etc., you find England, sometimes Australia, sometimes America. They are Muslims within the party parties, they are Muslims. They are Muslims within the parties. So whatever the party belong to, they belong to, but they are Muslims. Sometimes they are Muslims. Sometimes their children are Muslims. And these members are watching, alright, what is the behavior of my child? I can see a world of a difference in this child and this child. A world of a difference. Someone asked him, his father, your one son, you sent him to become a Mawlana. And the other one you sent, he got so many degrees, right? So we can see that he is really making strides in life. See, so much of money he's making. And this child here, you mean Mawlana, he's not even making one tenth of what this person is making. He's making so much, and he's not even making one tenth. So what difference you find in the behavior patterns. That's what I'm saying, walk by it and be able to see now. What is this Islam all about? Alright. Let me just show you. One day he called that son that was educated. I just need my shoe. Just get my shoe. So the son told the worker, attendant, just get Abbas' shoes, give it to him. It was over. Some days later now, Mullah's father says, Mullah, bring my shoes. So he went himself, put the shoe, cleaned the father's feet, put on the socks, and put on the shoe. See the behavior pattern. This person here and that person is the same. It's a feeding scene. So this is where we are now. We are stuck now. And are we showing the right Islamic value, ways, sifat? Are we showing it or not? Are we practicing it in our lives? And are we showing it or not? These are the things that will touch people, will affect people. Mullah Dawood Rahel. So, someone is selling a second-hand car. So he offered, that person is selling, one is interested. So that person is offered how much? 25,000. Mullah said, no, not 25,000. It's 45,000. Take this 45,000. Now, this will leave a mark in that person's heart for the rest of his life. Okay, I was underestimating it, and Mulana gave me the right price for it. Won't it leave a mark? You see, Mulana could have said, hey, I got this for a song. He could have said that, I got this for a song. But now, he gave 20,000 more, but that left a mark, an impression in the person's life, in his heart. You see, it's not what it is, what it does. An accident scene is like is a common scene to witness, right? So everybody is shrugging their shoulders and trying to recluse themselves from responsibility. But now, if a Muslim comes, it's my fault, and the damage, you make a fair estimate, and I'll give it to you. Now, how easily they can overcome? It's overcome. You make a fair estimate, I'll give it to you, it's my fault. I don't say now, you must be sold and you must be deceived, but you know if it's your fault, then admit your fault and give the person what is due to him. So he's seeing Islam from different perspectives, from chastity, purity, goodness of dealings, as a neighbor, what it is to be like a Muslim neighbor. Actually in Dioban, so we had some Cape Townian students, So, in that area that they were living, so that whole area, they would say, that's a Muslim house. You make it out from their behavior, their ways, their men, their women, how they deal, how they work, you can make it out. That's a Muslim house. So in that whole area, that Muslim house stands out for goodness, for well-being, for wishing well, for mannerisms, for everything it stands out. So now, this is a level that we are in now, Waqfa Tarbiyat, that makes me feel afraid. That are we portraying the right picture of Islam? When we are supposed to be showing that after we are invited, then are we showing the right picture? So now, this takes time. The picture of the right is picture of Islam to come through, it takes a little bit of time. Rasulullah sort of started the da'wah, right? But the culmination of the da'wah can see is around Fatih Makkah. Fatih Makkah is in the 8th year. So 13 years in Makkah Mukarrama, 8 years in Medina Munawwara. That's the culmination of the da'wah, right? 21 years. See how much of time is taken just to make the tarbiyah. That's like, you would say, 1/10 of the, no, yeah, but 9/10 of the Rabbi's life. 9/10 of the life is just getting the tarbiyat sorted out. So the tarbiyat, it takes so much of time, so much of endurance, sabr, patience. There are a lot of things, skirmishes, problems, domestic, abroad, internal, external, and all those problems have to be sorted out, showing the right picture of Islam. And when I say that culmination comes at the conquest of Makkah Mukarrama, this is the point where Islam spread right through. Because all the surrounding nations, their focus is the Kaaba Sharif. The Kaaba Sharif, who was the control of the Kaaba Sharif? So he must be respected and he must be obeyed. So now they got the control of the Kaaba Sharif. All the surrounding people, now they come and see. So people want to see something. So whatever it is, the one that is in control of the Kaaba Sharif, he is respected. Like in all the Arab or all the Muslim leaders, right, the most popular, right, will be the one that is in control of the Kaaba Sharif. It will be spoken about whatever people say, but that's the person is obeyed, that's the person that is respected. So they want to see that point. Is that point right or not right? And then you see izhar and nusrat. After that, then you see that the Tahath of Allah is coming in. It's coming in. The Persian Empire, that's getting conquered. Roman Empire, that is falling. Everything is falling. So we are now in that second period, and that's called Waqfaya Tarbiyat. So are we showing the right picture of Islam in our ways, in our talks, in anything what we are doing, but are we showing the right picture? You know, I saw in my childhood that a lot of hawkers, black hawkers, and they used to buy from Muslim shops. And they would insist that they want to buy from the Muslim shops. They are hawkers now, and there are Muslim shops around. So they'll insist that what they want to buy from the Muslim shops. Why? They know that they will be treated fairly. They got their money's worth. They're not robbed, they are cheated. Because at that time, early 60s, at that time, there wasn't so much of literacy amongst the blacks. There wasn't that literacy. They didn't know how to add, how to subtract, how to divide, multiply. They didn't know all these things here. Now they're coming here and they're buying a truckload of goods for their small shop, their father's shop. Right. But they're seeing that, hey, you see money, but you came in with so much and I'm growing from strength to strength to strength. So what was the motivating factor? Their honesty. That drew these people, attracted them. And I know of Muslims at that time in the 60s that the hawkers became more wealthy than them. They were providing the hawkers, but the hawkers became more wealthy. And then there was a time I know of people, I know them, that they had to go for Hajj and they took a loan from the black hawking customers. See, the relationship, the bond was so great. They had that honesty in them. Around, this is not a thing to talk about, around the 50s and 60s, right, the Afrikaners, right, were living in the plas and all that, they would offer their daughters to Muslims and saying, you know the Afrikaans word, Ibrahim Kassir. Abraham's child, what do you say? Kinder. The bond, the honesty, and the understanding that was there. So even the non-Muslim is something else. His honesty is something else. His chastity is something else. His behavior is something else. His choice of word is something else. You see something else in him. Now, let it not be that a non-Muslim says, I rather deal and work for a non-Muslim. A Muslim says what? Let me work or deal with a non-Muslim. Isn't that a very unpleasant statement to make? But that is as a result of our dealings, unfair dealings, dishonesty, that he's saying that he'd rather go to a non-Muslim than work with a Muslim. So this is that waqfa tarbiyat. The smaller things, bigger things, our words, our honesty, our interaction, in every department, we need to correct ourselves. Look at our weaknesses. And the better thing is, rather than picking out on other people's faults from within, what way am I wrong? Where am I going wrong? Now, there's a lot of places where they can be exploiting. You know, some years ago there was one guy, Suleiman Mutala. He was the head of this Netherlands. So he used to clean schools, universities, hospitals, airports, all these places. So he was the head, so he had somebody go and inspect what's going on. So he would tell me, sometimes you're going past his school, you have to double check. After everything is done, double check. As he's double checking, and he's walking on the corridor, you can hear a cry from the classroom. Like someone is sobbing, someone is feeling pain. He goes there and he sees a Muslim woman and she's sobbing very badly. So what happened? The Muslim, you can see now, it's a Muslim. You know, the principal wants some favor from me. I'm forced to leave the house because there's nobody to take care of my parents. So I'm forced. And now he's taking advantage. What do I do? So you see, this exploiting can come at different levels. If you are a little bit of senior, managerial, boss, money is in your hand, you are doing all that. And the exploitation that goes around with it. So let us not be those that will exploit. See, Allah's help will come, but He wants to see you. Are you clean? Are you showing chastity? Are you honest? Are you pure? Are you true to your word? He wants to see all the seasons. Now you're not there. And you ask him now, you say, why is the problem in Palestine and Syria and Kashmir, fala, why is this problem in China, right? Are you right? Because in the whole picture, see, when the Bani Israel, Allah told them, Asa Rabbukum ayyuhlika aduwakum. Shortly, Allah is going to destroy your enemy. And he will be replacing them. You will go into the position of ruling. But after that, Allah is going to see your behavior. You complaining about their behavior, misbehavior, dishonesty, all that, right? Anarchy, oppression, cruelty, all that, right? Exploitation. Now, you will replace, they will be replaced by you. But they're going to be replaced by you, so Allah is going to watch. So are you right now? Are you thinking now, the present day Muslim, is he showing right behavior? If he's not showing right behavior, then he wants to be in that position. So then, what's the difference between that Muslim and that kafir? He is doing everything the kafir is doing, but he's doing everything that kafir is doing, and why, what reason he wants to have that seat of administration? Why? So you show a behavior, Allah will give it to you. But you don't show that behavior, then Allah will say, what's the difference between you and my enemy? You there, my enemy. You are known to be my friend. But I can't see you spoiling things, missing things. If an enemy does it, then he's an enemy, and he is doomed for Jahannam. But you are my friend. You're my friend, I can't see you getting doomed. So it's a time now that we check within ourselves, our ways, dealing, everything, small things, big things. We check these things. Don't underestimate them. Otherwise, that kafir is saying, what's the difference? It's just a costume that you're wearing that makes you different from us. Otherwise, in everything, you are the same. So in everything, you have to see, going to a hospital, how do you talk to the nurse, the attendant? I imagine you're on your way to recovery and you have money. And the nurse is a little bit charming, all alone in the room. What's going to be your take? How are you going to behave at that time? So they're going to watch you at every point, they're going to watch you. And then they'll talk about it. So if they see the goodness in you, then that's an attraction to Islam. And otherwise, then let it not be Allah Pak forbid, that you be a distraction to Islam. It will not be like that. Allah Pak Tawfiq.